Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. I am your host, Matt Anderson. Joining me, as always, is Alex Jones of TheBigSpur.com. Alex, pretty crazy weekend, and we're not just talking about March Madness.
I'm not sure how much we got to talk about tonight. Is there really anything going on in Gamecock land this weekend?
I mean, Dawn Staley and the women, they covered a 50-plus point spread yesterday. But no, obviously the big news of the weekend is that Palmineri is no longer the head baseball coach of South Carolina. I think that was something that a lot of Gamecock fans, baseball fans, boosters, all of that were hoping for. I think that after Lamont Paris being retained, there was a lot of questions about Jeremiah Donati making a change like that. Well, he did. And as much as there's speculation out there, did Palmineri step down? Was he fired? It was mutual. Let's just call it that. And I think it'll come out to bear that Palmineri had one option on the table, and Jeremiah Donati did what was right by Gamecock baseball faithful and Gamecock nation. I want to give a shout out to XO. He is always here first. Appreciate you, man. XO said, what a roller coaster. It has been a roller coaster. And we're going to talk all about Palmineri tonight, his reign of terror, as John Whittle aptly called it. I believe it was John. If it wasn't John, I don't mean to misquote. It might have been somebody else. There's a lot of social media stuff going on right now. But, so South Carolina obviously had a weekend series against Arkansas, the number 4 or 5 team in the country, depending on what poll you looked at. And I think there's new life that has been breathed into Gamecock baseball. We're also going to talk football. We always talk about on this show, football never stops, Alex. And yeah. I know you were around campus this past weekend. You picked up some stuff from press conferences. You probably picked up some tidbits about how the team's performing in spring practice. And there were a lot of recruits on hand this past weekend in Columbia. We got some basketball stuff. And no, I don't mean just March Madness. We have picked up some intelligence. Look, I feel like a CIA operative. We have some intelligence on Lamont Paris. We picked up some intel on the basketball program and where things stand and what that might look like over the next couple weeks. We're going to share that tonight. And then, as always, we will have Justin Lyles of Sports Cap Value come on. We're going to recap March Madness, recap some of his picks. I hope that you guys take advantage of his 14-day free trial. And we'll talk to him about that here in a little bit. And I love March Madness. Alex loves March Madness. We're going to talk all about it. But Alex, with that being said, it's time for the Late Night Gamecock Show.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooltown.
Well, we are back, and as you can see under my name on the show tonight, it says New Life. And Alex, I think that we all agree that is what the baseball program is feeling right now. Palmineri, after 80 games as the head coach of the South Carolina baseball program, is no longer in charge. Monty Lee has taken over. Monty Lee was interim head coach. First, before we get into the Palmineri stuff, I just want to say I'm very happy for Monty Lee. Monty Lee has grown up in South Carolina. He grew up a diehard Gamecock fan. I know that he coached at Clemson there for a little bit, but he also coached at College of Charleston. He's pretty much been in the state of South Carolina his entire life, and even as an assistant coach at South Carolina. And this is his dream job. Well, we don't know how long it's going to last. I'll preface this by saying I don't think he will be the head coach next year, barring a miraculous turnaround. But I'm always a big fan of individuals that get an opportunity to have their dream job. So let's see what Monty does with it. We'll get to this weekend here in just a minute, but I think it's only fair that we recap the Palmineri era at South Carolina. So, Alex, I believe his final record was 40-40 overall. I think he was 6-26 in SEC play. And Alex, the pedal meets the road or whatever, was the 22-4 loss to Arkansas with probably less than 200 people in the stands. Yeah. Just a couple of days after having less than 100 people in the stands against Charlotte. So off the cuff, Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it felt like this was one where going into the weekend, you're kind of going to kind of watch it to see, because you had the Florida weekend, which just was not great. We talked about that. But then you get into the Arkansas series, and you start to wonder, like, you know, if they start off 0-6 in this thing, and you know, the fans aren't showing up, and they don't look great this weekend, does a move need to be made? But turns out you give up 21 runs on Friday night in a Founders Park that just had pretty much nobody in it, and just kind of the last straw. And I think you got to credit Jeremiah Tenotti for making the move. And then I think you also got to kind of credit Monty Lee and the team for being able to bounce back the way they did these past two games. And you know, some people are talking about in the comments just how the team looked a little bit different these past two days. And I wasn't there, and I was, you know, doing women's basketball coverage this weekend. But just, you know, seeing some of the social media talk, you can kind of tell that there was a new energy that was in the team. And I think you have to like that they were able to go out there and get the win today, because they were so close in that game yesterday. I mean, they were close to find a way to win that series, but I think you got to give some credit there to Monty Lee for being able to do that.
I think so too. And Alex, at the end of the day, I wanted Palmieri to be a success. And when Palmieri came to South Carolina, I don't think that this Gamecock baseball program was in the doldrums of the SEC. They weren't really in the doldrums nationally. Was it up to par for what Gamecock fans have come to expect? Absolutely not. You know, the previous 2 years, really the previous 3 years, you go to one super regional, you get bounced in a regional, you don't make the NCAA tournament. That's not what Gamecock fans wanted. And I don't think that any Gamecock fan, and I think it's time for everyone to raise their hand and be honest, nobody thought that when Palmieri was hired, it was going to end like it did. I think we all thought that Gamecocks would be in a regional, in a super regional, potentially hosting, you know, potentially going to Omaha quickly, because that's what Palmieri promised Gamecock Nation. In his introductory press conference, he said, this program is not broken. This program just needs some slight tweaks, and this program will be headed back to Omaha. Well, that didn't happen. And I think we as Gamecock media, Gamecock fans, Gamecock people, right? They looked at last year and started out without losing any games they shouldn't have lost, right? And then you get to SEC play and it just crumbled, and it crumbled in every way imaginable. And to start the season, it just didn't look like it was getting any better. And This is a program, Alex, that has pumped money into NIL, has pumped money into rev share, has spent the money on the operations side of baseball. And for it to be where it was, there was a clear change that needed to be made. Alex, you and I, we don't really like to talk about coaches getting fired until it happens, right? But even last week, Alex, last Sunday, I called for this to happen. It needed to happen. I think that if you were reading the tea leaves on Jamie Bradford and J.C. Sherbert and John Whittle and Alex Jones, we all felt the same thing, right, Alex?
Yeah, you just, after watching the team, really to start the season, they were losing midweeks. They were losing, you know, on some weekends where they shouldn't be losing. It just felt like there was nothing positive being shown, no step in the right direction being shown from year one to year two. And, I mean, frankly, it looked like, you know, another step back, honestly, with those losses. And it just felt like, you know, I think if there was something to show from a positivity standpoint, maybe let it ride out at the end of the year. But there was just nothing showing that it was going to get better and just could potentially get worse.
And, I mean, I do want to say, you know, kudos, like you mentioned earlier, to Jeremiah Donati for making a change. I don't think Jeremiah Donati is gun-shy to make changes with his athletic department, but at the same time, he wants to see things through. And I do know that he believes in Lamont Paris. Whatever you guys think about that, I know that's 100% true. He believes in Lamont Paris, loves Lamont Paris, thinks he can work it out. But with Palmieri, it wasn't the case. And look, baseball is not a money that – it's not a sport that makes money, right? It's kind of a break-even sport. And when you have less than 100 people in the stadium or less than 200 people in the stadium, that's going to catch an athletic director's eye. But I think that I want to give a lot of credit to John Whittle of thebigspur.com tonight, because he wrote an article last year that, Alex, I've never seen such an in-depth piece of journalistic work to actually do the ins and outs of everything that was going right. There wasn't much, but everything that was going wrong. And look, guys, it was not pretty. I've talked to numerous people around the program. I've talked to Major League Baseball scouts that everybody knew this wasn't going to work out as going into this season. And then the proof was in the pudding there. You know, it's hard, Alex, because with Paul Maneri, I don't know what his thought process was. And I'm really not trying to, you know, just put the guy on the barbecue, but he was out of coaching for 5 years. A lot changed. A lot mm-hmm. changed when it comes to NIL, when it comes to transfer portal, free transfers, college baseball changed, more scholarships, all of those things happened. And yet you decide to go full bore into the portal. And I kind of understand it, Alex, because maybe he had enough connections throughout the country to say, I can call this coach, that coach, get a scouting report on these guys and make my decisions. But it's not a way that Paul Maneri won anywhere else.
You got to evaluate too and find the right players in that.
Yeah. And, you know, when Matt Williams was let go from this program, who's arguably the best pitching coach in the country, who has the most ties to the state of South Carolina,
yeah,
anywhere, maybe outside of Monty Lee, it was okay. Well, Terry Rooney's your guy, right? And Terry Rooney, it's not working. Yeah. It's not working. There's an entire pitching lab that's not being used to its fullest potential. I don't know what the future holds for Terry Rooney. I wish him well. I think that, you know, he's been a pitching coach for a long time. He'll probably land on his feet, but I would be shocked if he's back in any regard next year. And I think, you know, it's probably going to be a wholesale change there anyway when we talk about coaches. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Monday announcement. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's just obvious from a pitching standpoint. I mean, 21-4 or 20, giving up 21 runs at any, and there's just been games where you look back to last season, even this season, where it's just, you know, the pitching aspect of it just has not been good enough. And, you know, you can talk about the hitting and all that, but your pitching's got to be able to give you a chance, and that has not been working at all.
Yeah, and with the transfer portal, I think this is what hurt Paul Maneri a little bit, Alex, is your retention in the portal is almost – just as important as your addition. And when you have multiple pitchers that showed promise 2 years ago, last year, that were just let walk to the transfer portal, and now they're on SEC programs, they're in Power Four programs and making a difference. It's weird all the way around. And I don't know why the decisions were made how they were. It doesn't make sense to anyone that I've talked to, but this is a situation where Gamecock fans should be excited again. And just watching the game today, I don't know if all of Gamecock Nation got the news yesterday that Paul Maneri was no longer the head coach when that game had its first pitch. But Alex, man, just listening today, I wasn't there, but I was watching. You heard the fans, you heard the chatter, you heard the jeering, you heard excitement. And I hurt so bad for KJ Scobie yesterday, because I know that he wanted to deliver that moment to Monty Lee, his first win at his dream program. But look, the Gamecocks got it done today against the top five team in the country. We'll see where this goes, right, Alex? But if nothing else, there's excitement.
Yeah, and I think you want to see the team be able to have fun too. And I think, you know, from some of the videos you've been able to see, like, you know, I think you're starting to see a little bit of that too. And that's part of it. If you're not having fun playing the game, that's going to go over into your play. That's going to lead to some of the bad play that we've seen. So, I think, you know, Monty Lee's somebody who's going to be really good at that, of, you know, building the confidence of the team. And like I said, you saw that earlier. I mean, you saw that in these past two games. There's more confidence and just belief going out there on the field. So that's going to be huge for this team. And, you know, we'll, you know, have to see where this goes from a, you know, can it get to the NCAA tournament type of thing. Like, there's some building that's going to have to be able to do to get to that point. But you at least needed a starting point. I think this weekend in these last two games, you saw that.
Yeah, you saw a looser team. I don't think you can say anything about yesterday's performance, honestly. Just the same way that there was shock throughout Gamecock Nation, there was shock in that dugout. There was shock in that team room. And all of a sudden, you have a new head coach. The head coach hasn't any time to plan. And I can promise you this, and I'll say this for Terry Rooney, he wasn't having much say this year in anything on game day. And Monty Lee, when a pinch batter came in, Monty wasn't the one saying, "This is the matchup I like. Let's put this guy in." That was all Pulmonary. So, look, you have a fresh start. You have the rest of SEC play to go. You got 24 more games. I think obviously you want to get to 12 to 15 minimum wins in SEC play to see if you can go to the NCAA tournament. But there's new life.
Yeah, and you know, again, we can have that conversation in a few weeks. But you're going to want to be on the higher end of that SEC win now that 12 to 15 you mentioned, just because of the losses you've picked up in the non-conference play. But I mean, again, that's a discussion for another day. I mean, there's a whole lot going on. But again, I think you did see a starting point this weekend with the team.
Yeah, and I'm like I said again, I don't know Monty personally. I've met Monty one time. He helped me get a ball sign for somebody, and he was as cordial as he could possibly be. So just excited for this opportunity, excited for him to live out his dream. Alex, let's turn our attention to the football field. I'll let you take it wherever you want to go. If you want to start with the team or you want to go to recruiting, but we need to hit both of them tonight.
Yeah, we'll start with the team first. That was kind of some of the things that went on this weekend. A team returned to practice on Wednesday from spring break, and you know, I think, you know, you got some press conference stuff from a player's standpoint and coach's standpoint. You know, I thought, you know, some of the more interesting things we heard was, you know, some of these freshmen who have really kind of stood out so far in these early practices. And should preface by saying, like, they haven't even gotten into the full pads yet, at least when we were out there on Wednesday for open practice. But, I mean, it's a start. I mean, you're hearing really good things about Julian Walker at edge, and that's a spot that obviously with the injuries, you know, I think he's going to have a shot in the spring practice to kind of earn some reps, but from a physical standpoint, he's looking the part. And it sounds like, you know, listening to Clayton White talk about Julian Walker, it sounds like, you know, he kind of mentioned from an ABC standpoint, he's really kind of picked up the ABCs already, and he's on to the DEFs, which, you know, I thought was a great way of kind of putting, you know, the progress that he's made. So I think that's good when those freshmen can do that. I think Jazavian Currents is right there in that spot too. And, you know, safety's one spot that, you know, I think maybe doesn't get talked about enough from the intrigue of it, of who's going to be the starters. But I think Peyton Williams, I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, promise for what they see in Peyton Williams. And guy, he's a veteran guy in that system. So, but they also got some of those young guys. Kendall Daniels, is he going to be kind of next up? You know, is Jazavian Currents, is he going to be right there in the mix? Like, I think there's some good depth there. So that was something from one of the more interesting things from press conferences that we heard this weekend. And then also, I think that's, you know, intriguing to hear, because I think those won't be the only freshmen to keep an eye on. I mean, Aiden Harris on the interior, Noah Clark. What can those guys give you? But, you know, spring practice, you want to hear about some of the progress from the young guys. I thought that was good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, what I've heard from spring ball, and really quick, I do want to address this. Gamecock Garrett asked, what's up with this Dylan Stewart rumor, or is someone just trying to stress us out on the boards? Look, I haven't heard anything from anybody that has said that rumor is accurate. I'll put it this way. I didn't even dig into it. I didn't even ask anybody, but normally when that kind of thing happens, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I hear about it from people other than a message board poster that I don't know. There's no doubt that Dylan Stewart has a lingering issue. There's no doubt that he needs rest and recovery, but I promise you, in my opinion, if he needed some type of surgery, that would have already happened. He made his decision to come back to South Carolina a long time ago. And he probably would have had a surgery if it was necessary. And that's not the kind of thing they're just going to string you along on, in my opinion. But Alex, have you heard anything different than me?
Yeah, I'll echo everything you just said. I'm right there with you with everything you said on that.
Yeah, I mean, other things I've heard the defensive tackles are looking pretty good. I think that the freshmen are showing out as much as they can without pads. To echo Alex's sentiment about Peyton Williams, look, every year there's a third or fourth year guy that just in the secondary turns it on. And I don't think that Peyton was as terrible as he likes, or as some people like to give him credit for being. I think that there were a lot of issues in the secondary, especially in the fourth quarter of games when you are tired and you didn't have the depth potentially. So we'll see what happens. When you have to be perfect all game, it's hard. Outside of that, I have heard that Lenore Sellers is making quick throws. I've heard the offense is moving quickly. Look, every offense should move pretty dang quickly when you don't have pads on. So I'm taking all of that with a grain of salt. But as far as recruiting goes, Alex, I know there were a number of prominent visitors and some guys that didn't make it in. But this is that season now, y'all, during spring practice. when we get into the summer months, there's going to be a lot of activity here.
Yeah, it was a really big weekend, and they were kind of planning for this to be a big weekend, and it just, the list kept getting bigger. And, you know, so for Saturday, there were a few guys who were some multi-day guys, but, you know, 27 was really kind of a big focus. And, you know, start off with an Abraham Cisse, who's, you know, one of the top edge prospects in the country. And I would, you know, want an official visit's not set with him, but I have to imagine one's going to be set pretty soon. And, you know, I think this is one where Deion Barnes has gotten South kind of in the game, because, you know, Cisse's from up north in that Pennsylvania area, and I think Deion Barnes has really gotten South Carolina into the game here. And I mean, they were after some of the, you know, top edge prospects in the country. And, you know, these guys I'm about to, you know, mention weren't in this weekend, but I mean, you know, KJ Green, he was in this week. He is going to officially visit. You know, you got some of those other guys, Jaden Bryan, who's the LSU committed, Irmo, like those guys, you know, they're going to have a shot at some of these top edge prospects. But, you know, Desmond Malpress was another one who was in this weekend. He's one, you know, a target at edge spot from Jacksonville, Florida, who's really intriguing. And, you know, from the offensive line standpoint, I thought Jackson Elston was going to be one of the more intriguing visitors. I saw him this past weekend in Atlanta when I was at the Under Armour camp, and, you know, told me he was going to, you know, he's got an official visit lined up with South Carolina, but this was going to be his first visit this weekend. And I think it made a really big impression on him. He mentioned, you know, he wants to get back to South Carolina as soon as he can. He loved it in Columbia. So that's definitely going to be one to watch, I think, with him. Aiden Gibson, you know, we've talked about plenty enough on here, in-state running back from Woodruff. He was back in, and I think, you know, kind of talking to him today, and I had a post up on the Big Spur about this, but, you know, I think this visit this weekend for him really kind of provided him the opportunity to connect with Stan Drayton and really watch him work in practice. And I think that was something that really stood out to him, and you know, just kind of the connection he's building with the staff. So, you know, it was a pretty big list. Jaden Kelly Murray, a new commit for South Carolina, he was in. Josiah Fields, defensive tackle from Charlotte, been a long-time target for Travion Robinson and those guys. He was in. Jaden Worth, Dutch Fork, defensive tackle from Irmo, he was in. Then probably, you know, I probably should mention this guy off the top, but Joshua Dobson, five-star cornerback, was at Catawba Ridge, but now is at Huff High School in North Carolina. He was in, and it sounds like things went really well there. So you know, you always expect to hear really positive, recaps from these types of things, but it sounds like, you know, with how good of a list it was this weekend, South kind of really kind of hit it out of the park with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and remember, for a lot of these prospects, it's their first time interacting with the Deion Barnes in person. First time interacting with Kendall Briles in person. First time interacting with Stan Drayton. Now, there might have been some, you know, visits at high schools, you know, back in January, February timeframe, but being on Carolina's campus, laying that vision out for them, having those one-on-one times is absolutely huge. I did want to make a note, and Alex, I don't think this guy visited over the weekend. Correct me if I'm wrong, but DJ Hunter, quarterback, 2027 guy. Want to give Hale McGranahan credit here. He has pointed out on thebigspur.com that he is going to be the top target as of right now in the quarterback room. And yeah. Can you talk a little about him, Alex?
Yeah, he'll be in next, I think it's 28th, next Saturday. There's a couple guys that are kind of building that list out for next week, and he's going to be in. And saw him actually in Atlanta too at the Under Armour camp, and thought he had some really good zip on the ball and kind of liked some of the things I saw from him. You know, Jerry Meyer was another quarterback who was in this weekend. He's, you know, has a connection with Kendall Briles, being that he was committed to TCU when Kendall Briles was there. But, you know, I think DJ Hunter is going to be, you know, one to watch in this recruitment. And, you know, he's at Buford High School, and kind of interested to watch him kind of develop over through his senior season here coming up. But, you know, right now, you know, talking to him, it seems like it could be a South kind of Iowa State, Kansas State type of battle. He's a former Kentucky commitment and was committed there before decommitting. And so he's going to be interesting to watch. And speaking of quarterbacks, I should have mentioned this off the top, but South kind of offered Bear Woods. And if that name sounds familiar, that's Cutter Woods' brother, and he's a 2029 quarterback. And he's going to be really interesting and intriguing to watch, just because he's got, you know, he's really good already. He got a really good arm talent, but now just kind of continue to grow and, you know, physically and kind of grow into the body and things like that. He's going to be, you know, I think he's got a chance to be a really, you know, intriguing, you know, top quarterback talent coming in that 29 class.
Yeah, and with DJ Hunter, I do want to say I have no idea where his final ranking is going to end up as far as 4-star, 5-star, 3-star. I mean, he is a 3-star guy right now. But at the end of the day, you don't see kids decommitting from an SEC school this early at quarterback if there isn't significant heat behind their name. And there's a reason that player decided to maybe open it up. And you hear some of the names that Alex talked about. Quarterback recruiting moves fast. And if you really do have to identify your guy, and if you believe in him, you kind of got to let the star system go to the wayside, because this kid's going to have opportunities to, you know, potentially be a Gamecock, potentially, you know, play for somebody else. But I always perk my ears up when you have a Jerry Meyer or somebody saying coveted quarterback recruit XYZ and then decommits. And then all of a sudden you have a number of names after him. Yeah. Quarterback recruiting starts early, right? I mean, Alex just talked about Bear Woods getting an offer, and he's a 29 kid. So for South Carolina kind of zero in on this kid, it's for a reason. And for South Carolina, we just don't know Kendall Briles' system. He's never coached in South Carolina. So he sees something there. Outside of that, Alex, I mean, I know we have a ton of official visits that are already on the books. I mean, these next couple of weeks, just how would you summarize what it's going to look like on South Carolina's campus most weekends?
Yeah, you know, through that spring practice, they'll continue to bring some guys in. And you know, I think, you know, with a lot of these guys, it's either, you know, building on the connections they already have or trying to, get in front of these guys and then be able to put them on an official visit schedule. And I mean, you are starting to see those official visit schedules, and it's going to be interesting because they got a May 1st weekend, which, you know, seems like the calendar just continues to get earlier and earlier, but you got, you know, a May 1st weekend that's really kind of filling out a June 5th weekend that you got some guys in there that I mentioned, you know, from the edge spot on, you know, right now that June 12th weekend. You got Jaden Bryant, who's a, you know, five-star guy, right, kind of in that five-star range. Chris Whitehead, who's from Chesterfield, Virginia, he's an edge and number seven edge in the country. He's going to be in that weekend. And then KJ Green, who's been a long time target, who's number two edge in the country, is also going to be in that June 12th weekend. So you're starting to see some of the, you know, summer official visit schedules come together, and that, you know, those will continue to be playing up until, like, you know, the day before of the weekend. You'll see some late ads in there. So, you know, throughout spring practice, you're going to see more and more guys come in, and they still got obviously a few more weeks of practice. And I'm sure, you know, obviously there won't be a spring game, but I'm sure there's going to be some type of, you know, scrimmage type of thing that, you know, they'll still have one of those big kind of events where they have a whole bunch of recruits in town.
Yeah, and honestly, Alex, I do think that the spring game changing this year is going to allow for, honestly, a better recruiting weekend. Because with the spring game, you can take the kids around different tailgates. You can show them around campus. You can get them on the golf cart. You can do different things. But for this type of event where you're going to have a concert, you're going to have a million students out there. You're going to have the football field to themselves. You're going to be able to show them the renovations and what the plans are. They're going to feel like they're part of the ground level on that type of thing. So I do think that this year's spring game, whatever it looks like, is going to be a big hit for South Carolina.
Yeah, I think so. Like, they always do a good job of, you know, building those out. But, you know, one of the positives you get from an actual spring game is just being in the stadium and, you know, things going on the field. Like, that's something for recruiting. But now, you know, with not having a spring game, you have to imagine where these coaches can now be around these guys all day and go with, like you say, you know, going around to the different types of events and things like that, where they'll just be nonstop attention for their guys.
Yeah, let's go ahead and move our – well, actually, Alex, let's take a quick break. Let's get a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk South Carolina basketball.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck / trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now. FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into Late Night Gamecock Show. Again, my name is Matt Anderson, and joining me is Alex Jones of TheBigSpur.com. So, Alex, before we bring Justin in here, I do want to talk a little bit of Gamecock men's basketball. As we mentioned, the women thoroughly dominated their opponent yesterday, covered the spread, threw up 100-plus points, gave up less than 40. It was a great game in Columbia. But, Alex, what I'm hearing right now as it pertains to men's basketball is obviously we all saw the news that Eddie Shannon is no longer an assistant coach at South Carolina. I do think there's going to be at least one more move. I think that there will be at least one more assistant coach that'll be moving on. I don't know if that's going to be a dismissal or it's going to be a mutual agreement, maybe has a different option somewhere else, but I would anticipate at least one more change happening on the basketball assistant coaching staff. I don't think this is any secret at all. We've been talking about this for a while. I do think that there will be a GM in place at South Carolina sooner rather than later. I would not be surprised if there was already a GM behind the scenes, because this stuff's moving fast. I know that Lamont Paris and his staff and everybody that's there have been digging through potential players that are going to enter the portal. Remember, the portal does not open until April 7th. As a lot of these seasons end, you're going to see more and more players that announce that they're going to the transfer portal. For those of you that missed it, Elijah Strong has been reported as somebody that is going to enter the portal. I'm not really shocked by it. I know that he was a player that said he would love to be at South Carolina long-term, believed in the vision. But one thing I can tell you is that I think that Lamont Paris and some of the players on the team had a different mindset going into the offseason, whether that be role, whether that be looking back at last season, looking forward to next season. So I do anticipate a pretty large shakeup on this men's basketball roster. And just remember, there's only one commitment in this class, and that is Marcus Johnson, Michi Johnson's cousin. He is the two-time Mr. Ohio State Basketball Player of the Year. I'm looking at 24/7 Sports. He's ranked the 61st best player overall, 6'2", 180 pounds. So we'll see what happens, Alex. They can have as many as 15 players on the roster. I don't anticipate this being a total wholesale change, but I also wouldn't rule it out. When you look at some of the players, look, this is, Alex, you know this, everyone knows this, it's essentially professional sports now. So if you want to play for this team, this might be the money that we have to offer you, and it might be a take it or leave it type deal.
Yeah, you know, from a roster standpoint, it feels like it's going to be one of those where you won't be surprised by whoever gets in their portal, just because there's going to be turnover, just because they're going to need spots from a transfer portal standpoint. And you know, obviously, there's just some guys that you just feel like you wouldn't be surprised if they do enter the portal. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised, too, if there are some, you know, guys who do stay, because you do need a little bit of continuity there. But without a doubt, they need, you know, the roster spots to go in there and get in the transfer portal and see if they can improve this roster.
Well, they're going to have to improve the roster because, and look, this is my opinion. This is my basketball eye. Alex is locked into this St. John's Kansas game right now. I wish I could be watching it. But look, this South Carolina team is going to be it's going to be between a $10 and $12 million roster next year. I think that the high end of what I've been told is $12 million. That's the goal. But I do think they'll have at least $10 million. That's going to be drastically different than what the Gamecocks had last year. My only concern, Alex, is that I don't think there are going to be as many stars in the portal as there was last year. And I don't think there's going to be a Yaxel Landenberg out there. And look, I know he came from different program, ended up in Michigan, went to the NBA draft, but teams are realizing how important it is to have retention of your key players. And in last year, where an extra $1 million was, well, we'll go get three players. Now an extra $1 million to give a single player is worth it, if that makes sense. So I think you're going to see a stars and scrubs type environment. And what I don't mean that derogatory to anybody, but I think you're going to see a lot of $2 to $3 million players on a roster, maybe three of them. And the rest are going to be filled out with like 500,000 and lower. Maybe some 750,000 players, but yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And that's where the piecing it together and roster construction part is going to be crucial in this. I mean, that you're seeing that's where the best teams are right now. The teams who can really kind of piece it together with the NIL and things like that to where they have that roster right where they want it. And I've talked about this with, JC and Phil before. I think it's either last week or the week before, but it feels like a lot of your money if you're South Carolina needs to go on the 1 through 8 in your roster, because you're going to need some of those guys in there, obviously from a roster standpoint. But then you also got to be able to get 9 and 10 too, just because you're going to be dealing with some injuries too. But it's going to be interesting, just because I think you are right that it's going to be in from a star standpoint. Like, what does that transfer portal look like? And the South kind of dive into that part of it. But obviously, there's going to be plenty of players in the roster. But the key part of this offseason is going to be, constructing the roster together with the players who can compete in the SEC while also just having the roster where it's set to where it fits Lamont Paris's system.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, there's so many rumors out there right now about who's going to the portal. I'm not talking about South Carolina. I'm talking about nationally, like who's going to the portal, who's not. But I have been told to expect a lot of really, really good players to just get paid by their institution. Now, what does that mean? That might mean that the guy that was playing second fiddle to a really good player is going to go look for that money somewhere else. So maybe there's a little bit more questions, but we'll see. Anyway, I think it's time to bring in Justin Lyles of sportscapvalue.com. I know Justin's here with us. Justin, it looks like we just had a buzzer beater. Is that the case?
Yeah, 67-65 St. John's right there at the end. So moving on, a little backdoor cover for us. I'll take it, 3.5.
Absolutely love that. I know that, you might have been pulling for Kansas and went outright just to make it easier for you, have a little bit less sweat going into overtime potentially, but that's huge. Justin, before we get to your overall takes from March Madness, you had a really good promo going. I hope people took advantage of it. But at sportscapvalue.com, you can enter NCAA tourney, all caps. And I can't say that I was tracking past Thursday. But Thursday was a massive day, and it could have been bigger. How did the rest of your weekend turn out?
Yeah, it's been good, man. UNC really took it to us with the losing that 19-point lead on Thursday. Man, that was brutal. It would have been a really master class of sports betting on Thursday. But gave a few back on Friday and then turned around and had a good day yesterday. So, and off to a good start, 2-0 so far. We're only on the St. John's and Kansas game, and then we got 3 tonight. So, looking to close out the weekend strong.
So is that promo still available if people have missed out on making money this weekend?
Yes, it is. It's NCAA tourney, all caps. Just plug it in as there's a discount code section at checkout. Just plug it in, free of charge.
So I know that I had a number of people I was hanging out with this weekend using your bets, and they were going crazy. And they were very upset at UNC because – I think it could have been like a seven unit day. Ended up being a 4-unit day, which was tough.
Yeah, it's tough to see. Have they fired Hubert Davis yet?
I believe that's in the works. Whenever ESPN is reporting that a coach and the program are having conversations about the future of the program, you kind of know where that's going to go. So. Yeah. That just opens up the coaching carousel even more. We thought it was going to be a lot of mid-major coaches taking that leap up, and a number of them have. But when North Carolina opens, that opens the floodgates to that. That's a 6 or 7 school domino at that point.
Yep.
So I just want to talk quickly about March Madness. I'll start in the East region here. I'll go through it. You guys don't have to have your eyeballs on it. I thought that Furman gave UConn everything that they had. Alex Wilkins has made himself a lot of money in the transfer portal. I feel bad for Bob Ritchie. I don't know if he's the guy that's going to make a jump. I'm sure he'll have opportunities if he wants to. But Furman gave UConn everything they could handle. I thought that looking at Michigan State, they just looked absolutely dominant in round one. And then to do it again against Louisville, still undermanned. Tom Izzo back to the Sweet 16 is exciting for me. Kansas, their season's over. You have Rick Pitino heading back to the Sweet 16 to face Duke. Tell me if you've heard that story before. Cal Baptist gave Kansas a run, too. To be down from 27 and get it to, like, 6 or 8, that was fun to watch. TCU, man, we said that was going to be because to bring your lunch pail battle. And Ohio State just did not have enough in the tank. And TCU got off to a big lead, and then Ohio State stormed back, but TCU finished it off. I thought the officiating in Duke TCU was absolutely terrible. I think Jamie Dixon should be given back his technical because it was clearly goaltending. He didn't even lose his mind. That's the thing. He just wanted something fair. So
that the TV interview was really funny during that because I think he had just said something to the refs about that, and then they talked to him. It was good.
Well, yeah, I just want to get y'all's thoughts on the East region. We'll just kind of move throughout like we did on the March Madness show.
Love it.
Go, Alex. Go first.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the talk about St. John's. Like, I think that's the one where we kind of had our eyes on that one from the East region standpoint, talking about it on Sunday night. And, you know, could they get over the hump of Kansas? I think that's kind of the talk of that East region right now. Like, I just think, you know, with Edgeford there in the post, like, they just could be really, really good. Like, just going to come down to, and I feel like we say this about every team, but, you know, can they make enough shots and can they do it consistently? And, you know, I think they're doing this. That's kind of the story for me right now for that region.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a bunch of blue bloods in one region. There's no denying that. There's like 6 or 7. And then you've got Connecticut and UCLA getting ready to tip off here later tonight. So whoever wins that is Michigan State's waiting on. So, and then you got St. John's and Duke. Duke will continue to get all the calls as we will. I'll truly take that to the grave. So, St. John's is going to be a physical presence. So watch out. Just watch out if I'm Duke is all I'm saying.
That's where I was going to go because I'm thinking about, you know, obviously we don't know the outcome of UConn-UCLA. I mean, but if I'm looking at it right now, I don't think that Duke can play the way they played in the first two rounds and get past St. John's. Clearly, they can't play the way that they played against Siena and get past St. John's or Kansas for that matter. But who do you think is going to be in that Elite Eight and Final Four out of this region?
I'm going to go with UConn. I don't know about Duke or St. John's. My heart wants to go with St. John's, but I think somehow Duke's going to find a way to win. And I see Duke and UConn with a trip, the winner going to the Final Four.
Yeah, I agree there. Like, UConn scares me a little bit. Like, I know Furman played really well the other night, but just UConn, they scared me a little bit this season. And you know, I don't think they showed much there in that first round game. But we'll see what they look like here coming up.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go against the grain here. I like Michigan State. I think that March is driven by guards. I think someone else said it in here. Jay Diz, college is a guard-driven game. He's talking about Pierce. yeah, that part's crazy.
Yeah, I need a guard, yep.
When Fears has a 16-assist game and he is in control like he is, I think that Michigan State just gets down and dirty. And I know that Fears has had his – fair share of controversial calls this year. I think I like Michigan State getting out of this region. Moving down to the South, a little bit of shocker right now. Iowa's up 23-15 on Florida. I felt absolutely terrible for Tanner last night with Vanderbilt. I thought Tanner had an excellent opportunity. That shot gave me a mild heart attack. But Illinois looks completely dominant right now. I think the Sharps were all over that. Houston, my Houston Cougars are looking dominant as well. That Houston-Illinois game we talked about on the show, I think that's going to be one of the best games in the NCAA tournament. So give us your thoughts on the South and where you see this thing ending up. Alex, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think Illinois has been really impressive. I mean, obviously, you know, did what they needed to do against Penn, but thought looked really, really good against VCU yesterday. So that matchup from a defensive standpoint with Illinois and Houston, as you mentioned, is going to be really good. I got to keep an eye on Florida to see. Like, I could be just one of these where they're, you know, getting off to a slow start because Florida can put up points really quickly. And more than likely, I'd have to imagine that's what's going to happen in this Iowa game. But, you know, I'm going to stick with Florida here. Just think they get past that. But I don't know. Just watch out for Illinois. It seems like they're playing really, really well.
Yeah, Illinois is my team to make it the Final Four out of this region. I just think they're loaded on offense. And they put on a pretty good defensive, you know, what they did yesterday in the second half. VCU scored like 10 points within like 5 minutes to go in the half. So, look for Illinois. I like them to sweep by Houston and get past all this. And whoever comes out of that top side, whether it's Florida or whoever, I like Illinois to make it to the Final Four.
So we're not gonna pull a Nebraska Gamecocks here and say you've never won an NCAA tournament game. You go to the Final Four after getting your first. No one's pulling for Nebraska, huh?
It is a great story, and I think they play well. But man, Vanderbilt, it was a tough one for Vanderbilt to just lose like that. That's a tough game.
I hope Tanner comes back next year.
Hey, if Iowa wins this game against Florida, then we can start talking about Nebraska a little bit. But I just don't know if I like that matchup with Florida if they get to Nebraska.
We'll see what happens with Florida tonight. I mean, this is I know Justin always says never bet live unless you have a really good feel on it.
You just told me. Yeah. Go right now, go live bet Florida and see what you can get them at and roll with it.
Well, I know that I had a buddy I was with this weekend who lost his butt chasing Duke against Siena. And I just kept saying, look, Duke does not have it today. This is a bad bet. But, you know, sometimes you got more bullets in the chamber. You're going to keep firing that credit's gone.
That's right.
But so over here in the West, I mean, Arizona, Long Island's coach, I think, was it a Long Island's coach said we just have to pray to God or something like that? Or we just got to ask God for.
They were playing.
I think that was Prairie View's coach going out to Florida.
Yeah. Just got to pray to God. That was funny. but you got Arizona and Utah State today. Utah State is carrying the banner for the Mountain West Conference. This is the year they only get one in, and sure enough, they got a win over Villanova, which we called, by the way. I hope you guys were on that. But Arkansas, oh, man, they beat the crap out of Hawaii. We thought that was going to happen. But how about High Point, man? High Point did not blink. They have a really, really good guard themselves. And Darius Acuff, my gosh, he is something special. We'll see what Arkansas can do. They're going to get the winner of Arizona and Utah State. I guess that would be – that winner will happen tonight. So Arkansas is in the Sweet 16. I think that I read a stat that Arkansas has never lost to a double digit in March. That they've only lost to a 10 seed. So that streak continues there. Texas over BYU. I mean, I called this. I even had Mitch text me later during the Texas NC State game and said, "You honestly think that either of these teams can beat BYU?" I said yes. I doubled down. But Texas got it done. Another SEC team to the Sweet 16. Purdue, I thought Miami gave them everything they had. And that's a game that Purdue has lost in past years. But they got it done today. You're going to have Texas and Purdue to go to the Elite Eight. And then you'll have the winner of Arizona and Utah State against Arkansas. My question to each of you, and I'm going to keep starting with Alex. This is fun. Alex, does Arkansas have enough in the tank to potentially beat Arizona to go to the Elite Eight?
I think so. I mean, I'm interested to watch Utah State tonight going against Arizona. Like, I think I can see this being a close game, but I think Arizona is going to end up winning. But Arkansas is just so fun to watch. And when you have a guy like Acuff, like, he can single-handedly win you games, and you're seeing that. But they're just fun to watch because they're so athletic. I mean, Billy Richmond, like, that guy flies around either grabbing rebounds or dunking. Like, they're just extremely athletic. And I think when they get kind of that up-and-down pace and when they're really getting going, like, they could be really hard to beat. So, you know, I hesitate to pick them as coming out of this because I like Purdue. I really like Purdue. But, you know, I think Texas, you know, you always have that 11 seed that comes out of Dayton that seems to make a little bit of run. Like, I think Purdue is going to be a tough matchup there. But, I mean, Arkansas-Purdue matchup, I'd be here for it in the Elite Sweet Six or the Elite Eight.
Yeah, you already have a line on that Texas-Purdue game, and it's Purdue minus 8.5, and I would take that to the bank. I would bet my house if I gambled. If I gambled, I would bet the house on that one, at that line. But anyway, so we got Alex's thoughts. Justin, your thoughts on this West bracket?
Yeah, I mean, I had Gonzaga losing in the second round, but I just had them losing to the wrong team. So Texas is playing well. They're hitting their stride. So I would not be shocked at all if they beat Purdue. As far as Arkansas, probably going to play Arizona. I don't think that's going out on a limb. But this is potentially – I could almost see the winner of this wins. This is the national title game right here, potentially. And when I say that, I think Arizona can win it. I think Arkansas gets past Arizona. They have a strong chance to win it all once that's done. I think that's kind of how I feel about it. I've almost wanted to pick Arkansas in some personal brackets just to – because nobody is. But when you got Acuff and he can take over a game and can get you a bucket from anywhere on the floor, sign me up.
Yeah, Justin, I really do like that call. I do think that, you know, if Arizona gets past Utah State, which we're all anticipating, if Arkansas gets past Arizona, I mean, well, we're gonna talk about this Midwest bracket and see who they could potentially face in the Final Four. But I'm all for it, y'all. I know that Cal isn't everyone's favorite, and Cal wasn't my favorite for a while. I think that he has turned a leaf since, let's call it what it is, getting embarrassed at Kentucky. And I think he's just a different guy now. So we'll see how long he'd be a different guy if he starts winning again. But, yeah, that's a huge one. Moving to the Midwest here, we got Tennessee up 62-55 on Virginia right now. The winner will face Iowa State. And Iowa State has looked fantastic, even down Joshua Jefferson, who only played 3 minutes, which is killing my NCAA Tournament Players Challenge that I did with our friend Mitchell, who was on the show last Tuesday night. But you're going to have Michigan. Michigan has dominated Howard, dominated St. Louis. They're going to get the winner of Texas Tech and Alabama tonight. That Texas Tech-Alabama game tips off at 9:45, and Texas Tech is a 1.5-point favorite. So I picked Texas Tech to actually come out of this region. So we'll see if they do it. They looked fantastic against Akron as well. A lot of people had Akron as a Cinderella. Look, I'm not going to give any flowers to Miami, Ohio for winning a play-in game against a middling ACC team. I'm sorry. You shouldn't have been in the tournament. This is a soft bubble. You played a real team, and you got absolutely embarrassed. So, sorry. I know Rick Barnes said all the right things in the post-game press conference about how this team won 32 games. They could absolutely win games in the SEC. No, they couldn't. Tennessee proved that. Tennessee was a middle-of-the-pack SEC team. But anyway, those are my storylines there. We'll see if Tennessee makes another SEC team in the Sweet 16. And then we got Texas Tech and Alabama later on. Y'all's thoughts on this region?
Yeah, it's hard to ignore Iowa State right now. I mean, you know, whenever that injury kind of came out about Jefferson, you started a little, you know, wonder a little bit them in this Kentucky matchup. But, I mean, they didn't skip a beat there. I mean, Santa Clara probably should have been Kentucky, but that's neither here nor there at this point. But, you know,
you're upset about it, Alex.
Very. Iowa State, they're just looking really good. But Michigan defensively, like, that'd be a really fun matchup to watch, Michigan versus Iowa State. I'm going to lean Iowa State, though, to make it out of here. I think Otzelberg has got his best team there, and they're looking really good.
Man, what a job Rick Barnes has done, right, the last 10 years plus years. Like, Tennessee was – their program was down in the dumps. I mean, this is back to South Carolina when the Frank Martin era. We were just dominating Tennessee prior to Barnes coming on. And then look what he's done. I mean, they're in the NCAA tournament. He's been to the Elite Eight. It seems to be making runs now. I know he struggled doing that with Texas, and that's why Texas parted ways with him. But, man, that's what South Carolina – that's what I – you know, when I envisioned – we talked about that last week, Matt, about – you know, with South Carolina, how can we, you know, what is the plan? What is the, what we need to build that foundation. And that's when you, you need somebody like a Rick Barnes for that, to do that. And that can go at South Carolina. I would not be surprised if they go in and beat Iowa State, assuming they hold on to beat Virginia. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I mean, I see a Michigan, Iowa State in the Elite Eight. Michigan has looked really good. They've looked good all year. They might be the most consistent team in the country outside of Arizona. They're not getting a whole lot of love to win at all, but I would not be shocked as well. They just got a good coach and Dusty May, and All-American. I can't remember his name. He was just dominating. Excellent. Yeah, he was just dominating yesterday.
The Puerto Rican, yeah. LeBron.
Yes, just dominating. So,
well, I should also say that one of the funnier text messages that Justin and I received this past weekend was Alex Jones saying that he was in defensive position in front of his TV for Santa Clara, trying to will them along. Alex, I pictured that, and it made my entire weekend. I will say that.
But I mean, that was an incredible. I mean, that was an awesome game. I mean, that was an incredible shot from OA. Like, the final two possessions of that game were pretty incredible. Like, it's been a really fun NCAA tournament so far. Like, you've had some of those moments like this. Like, I think it's been pretty incredible so far.
Yeah, it has been. And that was a March moment, right? We've had a handful of them so far. Just absolute High Point gave us some March moments. I mean, even the Vanderbilt Nebraska game, some March moments. Kentucky, Santa Clara, March moments. So much fun. A VCU, my gosh. I did send Alex a text message that the North Carolina Facebook account, like the official one, sent a picture out with, I guess it was like 10 minutes to go in the game. And it said North Carolina or UNC up by 19 at this moment. And that just aged beautifully in my mind. But y'all, we got a lot of marks left. Look, I do think that we might be seeing the end of the Cinderellas. I think NIL and the transfer portal. I mean, you just look at Alex Wilkins and Furman. I haven't talked about Richie about this. I haven't talked to anybody that's talked about Richie about this. But common sense just says that he might be playing for Connecticut next year. So I think this has really hurt the mid-majors. Maybe that is the bright side of, you know, bringing 96 teams into this. If they go that route, is that you're going to have the wealth spread out more as far as where people can transfer and still compete. And maybe you get some higher seeds in the future. But yeah, XO, appreciate that. It was great to have an extra show last week. But y'all, look, again, we're having fun with all this. I mean, we're all over the moon that South Carolina baseball has new life. That's my hat. That's my tagline today. We'll see what happens with Gamecock basketball. Like I said, I do expect one more change to be had, made on the assistant coaching staff and a GM to come in. We got 2 weeks until the transfer portal opens. There's going to be a lot of activity, and we just appreciate all of y'all for being with us here tonight. We hope that you all stick around and watch SEC Sunday night. I'm sure they're going to be talking a lot of March Madness tonight too. But y'all, you know, get on with SEC Sunday night, guys. Get your TV going. Get all the games. This is the hot time of the night. There's a lot of games left. Justin, again, tell everybody where to find you and what that promo is.
Yes, sportscatvalue.com. Go check it out. Just sign up for the monthly membership and just apply the discount code NCAATourney, all caps, and it'll be free of charge. And let's go make some money in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight.
Absolutely. And Alex Jones, I know you got a busy week ahead of you. Keep those football tidbits coming. Keep that women's basketball coverage coming. We love it. And we will be back here Sunday night. Appreciate all of you, and we will talk to you soon. See you, everybody.